joining. It's always nice to be able to get together and share words of Torah together, especially during times where there's a real, not only necessity of the zchus of Torah, but the feeling of connection that people cultivate and develop and feel when they learn together. And the topic of Avos Yisrael is something which is very, very close to my heart, as I'm sure it is to yours as well. It's something that always needs to be spoken about, always needs to be reinforced. But again, especially Bizmanenu is something that feels so present and so front and center, again, for me, but I'm sure for everyone here and everyone all over the world, that feeling of Avos Yisrael, which is so radiant and is radiating, especially now. And thinking about some of the marmakomos, thinking about the sugya of Eretz Mocha, and going back last week, I was so moved by so much of what was going on throughout the world in Eretz Yisrael, that I sort of went back and started going through some of the marmakomos again, going through some of the sources again, and I noticed something that to me, I wouldn't say was surprising, but certainly was maybe more nuanced than normally we would say mitzvah of Havrich Ramocha. Okay, it's very simple. We know what that is. Love your Jew, you know, every Jew, period. But realizing that the sugya, both in halacha and really in regards to the limitations of halacha, but also the spirit behind it, was something that is sort of more nuanced and more complex in a very beautiful way than perhaps a person might think of on first blush. So I want to go through some of the sources with you together. It's not a shiur that requires a lot of explanation or lumpness on my part. The marmakomos themselves are so profound and so beautiful, and really this is more of an opportunity almost just to even go through the marmakomos on this very beautiful topic. Okay, so in the sensitivity towards time, both as far as mine and yours as well, and we're willing coming to give a shiur at 4 o'clock, which I'm sure will be meaningful. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to read, but I really would like any thoughts, especially as I read through. So the pasuk says, pasuk that everyone's familiar with, lo sikum velo sitor, you should not take revenge, you shouldn't bear a grudge, es b'nei amecha, the people of your nation, the diuk, you don't even need a diuk, it's clear that perhaps it would be okay or appropriate if they're not from your nation. Love your neighbor like yourself. Now, what almost question immediately would a person be bothered by when they see this pasuk? Now, there'd be many questions, but anybody have something that just jumps out of, like that's curious? Again, I know I'm talking to a very learned audience. I'm sure many of you even know the questions in advance. But maybe even taking a fresh look at it, what might be something that raises one's curiosity about the pasuk? Good?
Yeah, well, what's the necessity of that Ani Hashem?
Right. So what's the necessity really of two things? A, what's the necessity of Ani Hashem at the end? Right? How is sort of Ani Hashem related to the mitzvah of Hatzreich HaKamocha? And B, why preface the mitzvah of Hatzreich HaKamocha with the words lo sikum velo sitor? Don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge, rather, you know, love your neighbor like yourself. In other words, you know, why couldn't the pasuk just be a standalone pasuk, right? Hatzreich HaKamocha, Ani Hashem, or something. You know, what's sort of the lesson, so to speak, of integrating the surim of bearing a grudge together with Hatzreich HaKamocha? That's something that we're going to allude to in a few sources down the road. Now, there's another problem. Another problem with the pasuk is the statement of the pasuk and maybe the philosophy behind the pasuk. And that's something that the very famous position of the Ramban highlights. Many of you have probably seen the Ramban before. But the Ramban says, V'tam b'Hatzreich HaKamocha, so haflaga, right? It's quite surprising. It's quite wondrous that we're being asked to love somebody else like ourselves. Kilo yikabel leif ha'adam sheyehovas chaveiro kiavaso es nafsho. Right? It's not possible that a person can love anybody else the way that they love themselves. Right? Meaning, by definition, love cannot be as intense for another person as it is for oneself. So how can the Torah command loving another person? Rabbi Akiva learned in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that your life always takes precedent. So how do you love another person like yourself if you're commanded to love yourself more? Okay? So then the Ramban gives an answer. Before you see the Ramban's answer, I'm curious, anybody have a thought of this statement of the Ramban that it's obvious that it's built into human nature that you cannot love another person as much as you love yourself? How does that sit with you? What would be your reaction to that? Anybody? People agree, you disagree, you find it surprising? Yeah? Right.
I would say most mothers and fathers love children.
Right. So I think the point that you're making is a good one. Namely, is it really true that you can't love somebody else when you love yourself? Maybe you love your children a lot more. You know, which parent, at least on most days, not every day, but which parent wouldn't lie down in front of a truck to save your kid children's lives? That's an act of service built out of the love for another person. Some people would say they love their spouse more than they love themselves. I think many of us in this room would say it's much easier to love another person than to love yourself. Sometimes to love yourself takes, you know, there are many obstacles. Love somebody else fully, with a full heart. But either way, the Ramban has the assumption that that's impossible. And plus we have the principle of Chayecha Kodmin. You can't love someone else like you love yourself. Your life takes precedent. Ella mitzvah haTorah sheyehev chaveru b'chol inyon kasher yehev es nafsho b'chol atov. Rather, the Ramban said the mitzvah is that it's not that I love another person like myself, but I treat the other person the way that I want to be treated. If I need food when I am chas v'shalom, not chas v'shalom, but whatever it is that person will be sitting shiva, so I want to do the same thing for somebody else. If I want to be invited to someone's house, I want, I will invite somebody else to my house. You treat people the way that you would want to be treated yourself. And we can sort of further that point by the lashon of the Torah itself. It says v'yahavta li re'acha kamocha, that you love to somebody else, as opposed to v'yahavta es re'acha kamocha, that you love the person like yourself. You're loving the behavior, you're treating the person, but that's lo, it's not the word es. So Yaakov Kamenevsky, by the way, points out, we don't have it in the Mamre Kovos, anybody remember the mitzvah where it says v'yahavta es, they actually love the person like yourself, or you love the person fully, not just the behavior, but the thing itself?
That's
right, so that loving the ger, Yaakov says, it's on a higher level of loving the Jew. There it says v'yahavta es hager, right? As opposed to v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. And that distinction perhaps sounds minor, but it's obviously not minor, right? That's obviously a significant distinction. So l're'acha kamocha, so far as we've seen construed by the Ramban, is that I'll treat you the way that I want to be treated myself. And the Rambam picks up on the same language. The Rambam says, mitzvah akol ha'adam le'ahov is kol echad yechad Yisrael kigufo. You're supposed to love everyone else like yourself. Shenemar ve'havto yechad kamocha. Lefichach tzarch l'saper b'shifcho. You have to speak to them with praise. V'lachus amamono. You have to be sensitive to their money. Kasher huchas amamon atzbo. The same way that I don't waste my money, I want to treat your money properly. And I treat you with respect, with I want to treat you with respect. But again, the Rambam is following the same theme of the Ramban. The other way of Kamocha is, I can't really love another person like myself, but I can do the behaviors towards them that I would want done for myself. That is the Shita. So Rambam is the Shita of all the Rishonim. No Rishonim disagree with this approach of the Ramban and the Rambam. We'll take another of the Rishonim, of course, the Sefer Chinuch. I was reading through the Sefer Chinuch very quickly. Mitzvah havas Yisrael lehov kol echam Yisrael avas nafshi. Like a deep, like a soulful love, which obviously maybe sounds a little more than that. Klomar, but what does that mean of ahavas nefesh? Klomar, shenachmo a Yisrael v'yamamono kemosh adam chomel al atzmamono. What does it mean to love a person like an ahavas nefesh? That means that you're sensitive to their money, you're sensitive to their bodies, you treat the person properly. Shenemar ve'havrecha kamocha, the amruz from v'racha, the gemara says Shabbos, the alochsni, that which you don't, that which is hated upon you, l'chavrech l'tavid, do not do to your friend. The amru b'sifra, it says in the Medrash, amru b'kiva zechal gadol b'torah, klomar, shaharbe mitzvos shabatorah tlui b'kach. So many mitzvos relate to this principle. Sha'oed chavero kinafsho. If you really love another person like yourself, lo yignob mamono, you won't steal his money. Lo yinof as ishto, you won't make inappropriate advances towards a man's wife. Lo yoneu b'mamon lo b'dvarim, you're not going to sort of persecute him financially. You're not going to persecute him with words. Lo yosig gavulo, you're not going to infract into his business. V'lo yazik lo b'shum tzad, you're not going to cause him any damage. V'chein kama mitzvos acheros t'luyos b'zeh. Many mitzvos deal with the sensitivity of one person to another person. Now, everyone here has learned the Sefer Chinuch before. Without looking at the next line, the Sefer Chinuch always gives a shoresh, a reason, a tam for the mitzvos. Now, based on everything we said in the Ramban, actions towards a person. The Rambam, actions towards a person. The Chinuch, actions towards the person. Isurim of how you treat a person's money and property, etc. What would you say and sum up in one sentence is the shoresh of the mitzvah v'hatrech kamocha according to these Rishonim, and the Chinuch says it explicitly. Okay? If you have to sort of say in one sentence, what is the reason that a person should love another Jew or treat a person properly? Anybody? Okay, so if you take a look in the Chinuch, so the Chinuch says, so shorish ha-mitzvah yadua, ki kamoshi yasu b'chaveru, ken yasu chaveru bo. Right, in the same way that I'm going to treat my friend well, so you are going to treat me well, u'bezeh yeh shalom ben habrios. And this is a way of creating shalom ben habrios. So we're creating a peaceful, ethical, just society. And that's the purpose of the mitzvah of Hatrei Kamocha, to make sure that we create a peaceful, ethical community and that people are treating each other decently. Okay, now, I want to take a pause over here. Anybody have any reactions of, I think my wife would be upset if I use the term, how does this make you feel? That sounds like very sort of new agey. But if this is all you knew about the mitzvah of Hatrei Kamocha, that it's a means of making sure that society runs properly and justly, like, what would you sort of almost, what would your reaction to that be? Anybody? Yeah, Steve? It feels maybe less personal, more communal. It feels behavioral as opposed to emotional, right? You might say that also. I can't love you but I love myself, but I can, you know, bring you cookies and I can make sure this, and I won't infract on your property, infringe on your property, etc. Right? Please? Right. So what you said, what's your name, Ben? Okay. So what Tila just said is maybe what you might have assumed Rishonim would say. We're one nation, we have a nefesh together, etc. But it's not what Rishonim say, it's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. They sort of construe it like in a different type of way, right? Okay. Now, to even maybe further that point, I want us to do the next few Maamar Komos together. The Gemara says in Shabbos, again, a Gemara we just quoted, but a Gemara that everyone here knows. So shuv ma'aseh v'goyecha shabal lifnei shamai, this person who was not yet Jewish, there's other gersos in the Gemara that says that he was an idolater. He wasn't just not Jewish, but he was an oved avodah zarah. That person came in front of Shamai. Amar lo, so gairani amanash lomdeni kol torah kula kishini omen aregel achas. Again, the Gemara that everyone here knows. I guess this person didn't know who he was dealing with. He said, okay, I'm going to go up to this famous Shammai, I'll ask him to convert me on one leg, maybe hoping for a different type of answer. And Shammai says, "Dechafo or dechafo be amas habinyan shebiyado." He was holding something in his hand. He gave him a zet. He sent him off. He said, "Leave me alone with these crazy questions. Convert me on a regal achas." And he sent him off. Balifnei Hillel. I think Sefaria does something weird. Ever hear you Sefaria? And they do like wacky stuff sometimes. especially if you're trying to pace from one place to another place. But anyway, so what does Hillel say if you flip to the next page? Amar lo, he said, I'll convert you a regalachas, right? The aloch snei lechavroch lo tavid. That which is hated upon you, do not do to your friend. Zohi kol tarkula v'idach perusha hu zil gamar. This is sort of the key principle. Everything else is just a perish on that zil gamar and go learn it. So the Maharshal picks up on two pieces of this Gemara that clearly would be a question if you're sort of sensitive to the Gemara. So the Maharshal says the following: V'yomar the Hillel lomdu da lochsni lachavroch lechavid. So v'hainu dechsiv b'Torah v'hatorecha kamocha. This is basically the same principle of hatorecha kamocha. V'yesh l'ayin b'zeh, and I want to sort of be ma'ayin. I want to ask the question: Gam shomer le'beloshen targum. Why did he say in Aramaic, right? So he says, Shekein ha'yu l'shonam oz b'Yishalayim. People in Yishalayim, their first language was Aramaic. It was not Hebrew, right? I live in Muncie. There's many people whose first language is neither Hebrew or English. You have to sometimes, if you're a doctor in Muncie, you have to know Yiddish well. So it's sort of the same thing. People in Eretz Yisrael, the language they spoke was Aramaic. So that's why Hillel spoke to this person in Aramaic. But it says, even more than that, because makom amai shina lomer lo beloshen shlila. Why does Hillel say to the ger, to the potential ger, that which you don't like, do not do to somebody else, right? You should say, that which you do like, you do to somebody else. You treat them well, you bring them gifts, you give them compliments. Why is Hillel saying it in a negative way, beloshen shlila, in a negative language, okay? So the Targum Elishna of the Kra, if you wanted to translate into Aramaic that pasuk, Havle Lomar Uturachmi Lachavrech Kabasech. Have rachamim, have love for your friend Kabasech. That's what Hillel should have said in the positive, not in the negative. What you don't like yourself, don't do to somebody else. So the Maharsha says something which is very striking. V'yesh Lomar, maybe a person can say, the Mashma Le Dekra. Lo ayri elabhi haigavna below sase digabe lo sikam below sitor. In connected to the pasuk of Mocha are the negative commandments of do not take revenge, do not bear a grudge. Okay, the Allah kai hatre kamocha. And based on the negative, that's when we say hatre kamocha. Namely, what's the Maharsha saying? Right? What's the Maharsha saying? The mitzvah of the kamocha is only to not do to somebody else what you don't want unto yourself. Don't bear a grudge, don't take revenge, don't infringe on their property, don't steal their money, don't this, don't that. But according to the Maharsha, the mitzvah, midoraisa, is not commanding positive actions. It is only warning us against not doing negative actions or not doing something to a person. Right, everyone hear that? It's quite a Maharsha. Right? Maharsha is saying that the whole mitzvah of kamocha is to not do certain things to other people that person wouldn't like. So I actually gave this shiur in my house last night to some of the balabatim, including my wife. So my wife mentioned, rightly so, that if all that we did in this world was simply not do things to other people that are unjust, that would also be pretty good, right? We sort of see this as being something very small. Well, it's actually probably a pretty good start of not doing this and not doing that and not double parking and not all these things that make life sort of very difficult. Yeah, do you?
Marshall said that it's like mitzvah.
What's that?
Marshall said that it's like mitzvah. What's that?
The mitzvah asay is.
What seems like it's like a losase.
Does sound like a losase. So the Maharsha, first, I'm not sure if he really believes this, but the Maharsha also doesn't have to worry about minyan ha-mitzvahs, right? And we don't know what the Maharsha would have said, but maybe what he just said is, it almost sounds that mitzvah kamocha is fundamentally a mitzvah lo sase, right? Or you can say that the mitzvah sase, but that the parameters of the mitzvah sase only manifest itself in not doing certain behaviors, but then that would be complicated. But it's a very good question. Okay, so everyone hear that? Okay, so someone, by the way, suggested last night, well, maybe this is what he's telling the ger, because the ger is coming, and he's like, start with this. Start with this is, don't do this, don't do that, you know, treat people whatever, but that's probably not the pashtus in the Maharsha, that position. Now, maybe even more striking, of sort of even limiting even further this beautiful mitzvah, Hazreich Kamocha, is something that is found in Tosfos. And so is the Sanhedrin. The Gemara says Sanhedrin, what one would think is an unlikely source to be speaking about Hazreich Kamocha, is speaking about how to kill somebody when it comes to the obligation to do skila. We're stoning somebody, so how would you do skila? You would throw a person off of a cliff in a barren area, and then you would stone the person afterwards. Not exactly what one would think a hotbed, fertile ground, for the mitzvah of Hatzareth Kamocha. So the Gemara says, Tana, Bekomish lo harikan shalosh, right? You have to throw him off of an area that is three stories. What would be three stories tall? Let's say 25 feet, 30 feet. Umiba inan kule hai. Is it true that a person only dies if he is pushed off a cliff of 25 feet? Or minnu, we ask the question, ma bor shu kide lahamis. How deep does a pit have to be where if you fall into that pit, you might die from that fall? So the Gemara answers, I started talking. Only I started talking, which is roughly, let's just say 3 feet, right? Maybe even less than that, but somewhere along those lines. So afko kidei lahamis is our tefachim. That should be enough. Throw the person off of a cliff with 3 feet. Again, this is like a very unlikely Gemara that dropping off of a cliff with 3 feet is going to do any damage. But the Gemara's point is, why do we have to throw him off from a cliff of 25, 30 feet? Wouldn't less do the job as well? So Amar Nachman, Amar Rabba, Barbua, Amar Kra, the Haftal Recha Kamocha. You should love your neighbor like yourself. So Bar Lo Misa Yofa, right? So it's hard to say these words without any irony, but you should choose for him a Misa Yofa. What's a Misa Yofa? Like a nice death, a more compassionate death. So because we want a more compassionate death for this person, therefore, you throw them off of a higher cliff, right? Anybody who knows and followed 20th century jurisprudence about the death penalty, there's actually a certain, I would say corollary, but it's clearly sort of sensitive to the same thing, right? What is the most compassionate way to kill a person? Okay, that's sort of the same discussion over here, based on the Hatorah Kamocha. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so Ihachi Ligbe Tvei, so maybe throw him off of 50 feet. That way, he'll die faster. We throw him from 25 feet so that he can die faster. He doesn't have to suffer. You don't stone him for very long. So that's true. So find even a higher elevation for that. So the Gemara says, Mishum de Manava. If you do that, it's going to be a nevela. It's going to be disgusting to the body. So we choose the level that is compassionate, where he's almost going to die by that height, but not so high that he's going to destroy the body. Okay. So Tosfos says the following. I would never have thought of this Tosfos if I hadn't seen it myself inside. It's not like something that would have necessarily been noted towards. What does Tosfos say? So Yesh Mefarshim, everyone see source number 8? Mishum dilrecha kamocha lo shayach nechayim dechayecha kodmim. It's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of a haftal reyecha kamocha to a living person, to love another person like yourself, because of the principle of Chayecha Kodmin, my life always takes precedence. So how can I love you the way that I love myself if my life takes precedence? Therefore, to whom does a Hathareka Kamocha apply? Right? To only somebody who's dead. Right? Because if the person was alive, how can I love you the way that I love myself? It seems to be a fundamental stira, a problem. It's only if you're going to die or you're dead, then I can love you like myself, because for that person, we no longer say Chayecha Kodmi, right? Everyone hear that Tosfos? No? What's it?
Why don't we say
Chayecha Kodmi? Well, okay, fine. So Tosfos obviously is not bothered by that, but everyone here from the women's section, you hear what Tosfos is saying? Hathareka Kamocha can only apply if that person is no longer living, because if the person was alive, how can you love in the way that you love yourself, right? Now, I'm not saying the Tosfos believes this, he says Yesh Mefarshim, but it sort of shows you in this Tosfos the basic tension that the Rishonim and the Halacha are dealing with, right? You're supposed to show love to another person. At the same time, your life takes priority, okay? So therefore, again, there's a fundamental conflict. So Tosfos goes as far to say it can only apply to a person who is not living, okay? Any thoughts? Any ever hear that? So far what we've seen in the Rishonim is either, like the Rambam and the Ramban, you love another person like yourself means you do things for that person to build a just society, or maybe it's only the negative, like the Marsha, and maybe it's not even like a living person for Tosfos. And obviously what Halacha is battling is, and I'm sure this is clear to everybody, you're battling the impulse to want to love another person, at the same time, the restrictions of that, right? I want to get stuck into another person, but I'm told, you know what? Only give this amount, don't give more than 20%, don't give if the person is not trustworthy, don't give if the person does this, your only obligation, meaning I have the ratzon to want to do something, but then Halacha comes and says, these are the parameters of the mitzvah, in a very sort of practical type of way, right? Does it make sense? Does it work? Are you putting your life before your own? So let's say if a person says, I want to go up, I want to get up, and I want to join the Peace Corps. I want to go. So you have to ask yourself, well, how about your life and how about your time? I want to get into my car and go drive somewhere to visit somebody, but then we also have, well, chayecha kodmi. Does it mean that you're not going to sleep enough? Does it mean that you're going to miss your stay there or your work or something else? So Halacha expresses things, but also sort of gives limitations based on other principles or other limitations. And therefore, the Halacha of Hazarecha Kamocha is in a way somewhat almost limited, right? Okay, everyone hear that? Okay, any thoughts on that before we move forward? But the reality is that if you sort of continue going through the sugya, almost if you take it away from the halachic level of how do I fulfill the mitzvah, but maybe much more to the cosmic, sort of spiritual, metaphysical level, we are left with a very, very different impression about the very concept of Hazarecha Kamocha, the very concept of how we feel to another person and how we feel to another Jew. And I want to just bring your attention, and try to do so very quickly, and I want to get through all these marakomos, because each one, in my estimation, is beautiful. I want to draw your attention to four or five really exquisite sources on this topic. The first one is an early source. It's the Mechilta of Shimon Bar Yochai. Obviously, it goes back to the time of the Tanayim. So the Medr says, they darshan the pasuk of Vatem Tiuli, like Mamlechas Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh. So under the word V'goy, so the Medr says, Melamed Shem Kuguf Echad V'nefesh Achas. From the word Goy, right, nation, we learn out that they're Guf Echad, literally one body, V'nefesh Achas, one soul. Anybody have a question on this Medrash? Anybody? How do we learn that out from the word Goy, right? Goy Kadosh. Goy refers to a nation. How do we see from the word nation that it's Guf Echad V'nefesh Achas? So we'll leave that question aside. But either way, the point is that according to Shimon Bar Yochai, it's not just practical. It's not just what do you do for somebody. But literally on a cosmic level, it's nefesh achas. V'cheinu omer, so too the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, u'miki amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. It's like it's one goy, it's one nation. So chata echad mehen, if one person does a sin, kulon nenshin, everyone gets punished for it. Again, because it's nefesh achas. So if I do something, you're also responsible for that same thing as well. Now that concept of communal responsibility is fleshed out beautifully by the Tomer Devorah. Anybody know who wrote the Tomer Devorah, what that sefer is about? So Tomer Devorah was written by the great Kabbalist Rav Moshe Cordovero. He himself was famous, but even more famous was his Talmud, the Arizal. And in the Sefer Tomer Devorah that I recommend every person to learn, it is a beautiful, beautiful Sefer. So he takes the characterizations of the Kodesh Baruch Hu of Mikel Kamocha, Nose Avon, V'Ogar Al Pesha, L'Shairis Nachlaso. Where is that pasuk from? From the Navi Micha that we read in the Haftorah and Shav Shuva, where it's the 13 attributes of God. And the Tomer Devorah says, just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu has each one of these attributes, So we need to inculcate and integrate those attributes as well. So Tomer Dvora says, what do the words mean that you are a God who's over al pesha l'she'eris nachlaso? So Tomer Dvora says it means that we are like you to God, almost totally connected, almost like relatives. The word she'er is talking about like a relative. It's like a karov. We're like a karov to God. So Tomer Dvora says, so kacha adam, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is connected to us, almost like a karov, almost like a relative, kaviyachol, so too, every person, kol Yisrael, heim she'er basar, elum, elum. And so every single person in Chai Yisrael is she'er basar. What's she'er basar? It's as though we're made from the same flesh. It's as though we are, in a fundamental way, related to each other. Mipnei she'haneshamos klulos yachad. The souls are all integrated together. Yesh bazeh chelok zeh. I have a piece of Yonatan's nefesh inside of me. Yedidia has a piece of my nefesh inside of him. Stephen, and on. Each person has a, almost a piece of the other person's soul inside of them. Okay? So that's the case. V'chei mitam zeh, based on that reasoning, so kol Yisrael arevim zeh la zeh. We have responsibility towards each other. Okay, so therefore, what does that mean? If let's say I make Kiddush already, but you, everyone here in this room, is obligated to hear Kiddush, but you haven't heard Kiddush, so even though I was Yotzei Kiddush already, I am obligated to make Kiddush for you, because as long as you have not yet fulfilled a mitzvah, it's as though, in a very fundamental way, I also have not yet fulfilled a mitzvah, because we are so fundamentally connected to each other. And so too, uvishachot ha'echad pogim es atzmo. So if I violate an avera, if I do an avera, I'm pogim es atzmo. I've like violated my own nefesh. Upogim chelek asher l'chaver bo. I've also violated the piece of me that's inside of you. You have a piece of my soul. So if I act appropriately, if I'm suffering, so then you have a piece of my nefesh. In some cosmic, metaphysical way, you feel that. You're impacted. By what would you sort of almost like describe that? I'm almost like a modern day parlance of that experience. Right? It's almost like you ever meet somebody who's like an empath, right? So I always would know when I would speak in our shul, I used to be the Rav in our shul, let's see, who the empaths were. So you get up and start talking about something, they're crying in the back row. Because if they hear about this person who's in Tsar, or that you're in Tsar, like, they feel totally in their bodies. It's like they've taken on all of like your pain onto them, right? Anybody know anybody like that? Any of you like that yourselves, perhaps? It's a heavy existence, right? So Tomer Dvora is saying that even on a halachic level, that is the experience of being part of Klal Yisrael. We all have a piece of that inside of ourselves. And therefore, I have a mitzvah obligation towards you. I'm affected by your chatayim. I experience your pain. On a fundamental level, that's what it means, l'she'eris. That people are of the same family, the same cloth. Okay? So, v'nimtza mitzad ha'chelek ahu chavero ariv alav, im kein heim she'er zeh mzeh. We are relative to each other. Therefore, I should always want what's good for you. Etc., etc. So we see from here, this is so far beyond what the Rishonim were talking about. Rakhmocha. This is talking about a Kesher Nafshi on the deepest, deepest of levels. What's the most famous exposition of that topic? It's clearly the Tanya. The Tanya says in Perek Lama Beis, I'm not sure if anybody here has learned Tanya before, but this is one of the more famous passages in all the Tanya, and I was going to read through sort of almost from start to finish. Okay, so the Tanya says, "V'hinei ayidei kiyum hadvarim hanizkarim la'el." Based on what I said before in the earlier prakim, "Lios guvo nivze v'nimas be'enav," that our bodies, right? I don't like personally, and I guess everyone has to do this, but walking around saying, my car, my house, my this, my that, my that. It's like I'm pushing everybody away from me because I'm sort of so wrapped up in my stuff, right? Okay, so anybody who is like that, So the goal, says the Baal Tanya, is that my gufo nibzev and nimhas be'enav is sort of diminished, right? My physical status and my stuff in the world. Rak simchaso, where does real joy come from? Tiyeh simchas ha-nefesh levada. It's really the joy of the heart. So if that's the case of the soul, Hari Zuderach Yishara, this is the direct path, Vikala, easy path, Lavoli de Kiyum mitzvahs, mitzvahs, the Atrech Kamocha. Okay? The Chol Nefesh Yisrael will be God Dovya Katan. If I'm not so wrapped up in myself, if I drop my body, my cloak of my own life, so then immediately, if I'm focused on the soul, then our souls are connected. If I can sort of let go of my own sort of place and my own self, if I drop a little bit of that, so we are totally connected with each other. Kimeachar, if everyone please look at these words, look at them carefully and closely. And the Baal Tanya says this in many places. Kimeachar shegufo nimos mitoveso. Seeing that our bodies are not our priority, and by the way, this is not to say that you shouldn't care about physicality. Our families are big fans, as I'm sure many of you are as well, of the Peloton and trying to be healthy and trying to be fit and trying to eat well and trying to present ourselves and dress nicely. All those things are great, right? All those things are important, but obviously we should never begin to believe that that is the priority of our life or that true simcha comes from those things. Kimeachar shegufo nimas v'mutov etzlo v'nefesh v'haruach miyodeh v'dulason v'malason. And who can even begin to understand the greatness of the nefesh and ruach? B'shorshan u'mekoran belokim chayim, our nefesh and ruach, which are attached to the shoresh of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. B'shigam shekula matimos. If that's the case, if we're talking about soul connections, then we are all tu'umim. What are tu'umim? We're all like twins with each other. V'yad echad l'kulanam. There's only one father. V'luchay nikru kol Yisrael achim mamash. Mitzat shoresh nafsham b'ashem echad. We're all connected. And so I mentioned this before. What's here in the one here? Right? Who says before? About the idea of like Tzelem Elokim, etc. So we are all connected to our shoresh nafsham b'ashem echad, rak shehagufim mechulakim. Right? We all have sort of one soul in different bodies. Ulechein ha'osim gufam ikar v'nafsham tefeva. If the center point and the priority of my life is my body and my nefesh is tafel, a secondary, I can't have true love between me because I'm so wrapped up and connected in my own guf, in my own separation. And that's why Hillel said on this mitzvah, this is a very, very beautiful and very deep point. So Zeil called our kula v'idach perushahu. Everything else are just commentaries on the mitzvah of Ahavas Reyin. Ki yisod v'shorish kol Torah, the foundation of the entire Torah, hu lahadbia ulahalos hanefesh al haguf maila mala ad ikara v'shorsha d'chol almin. Right. The goal of the Torah is to elevate the soul over the body. Therefore, why is the entire Torah a perish of Hadran Kamocha? That you can only love a person if your body is diminished and your soul is valued. And therefore, the entire Torah is geared towards diminishing the value of the body, elevating the soul. It's not just be nice to this person and lend that person money and bring that person shalach manos. It's everything we do in our life is there to crystallize and elevate the soul over the body. And therefore, that is the key. That is the message, said the Baal Tanya, of the mitzvah of Hadrei Kamocha. Okay? So Ad Yikara v'Shorsha d'chol Almin v'gam l'hamshich or ein sof baruch hu b'nes Yisrael k'mo she yizbar l'kaman d'haynu b'mekur nishmas kol Yisrael l'mehevi echad b'echad tafka. That the whole goal, the whole purpose, is that people's souls are deeply connected with each other. You can't have God's Shekhinah existing in the world when there's any separation between people. So the Kutche Brichu Lo Sharia Biasar Pagim. God can only reside or can't reside in a place that is in any way fractured. Right? When does God reside in the world? When? between Yehudim or in the world in general, there is a deeply felt kesher nafshi. Each one of us connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our nefesh realizing that is born with some Elohim, born out of God. Based on that, we are all brothers. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in this universe. Everyone sort of see this Hanya? The Hanya has been translated to about 500 languages. I would recommend, encourage people that if you want to see the Hebrew-English translation. These are like words to look by. The words to sort of photocopy, put on your wall, the centrality of the soul. In the world of the soul, every Jew is connected with each other. It's in that place that God resides in our lives. Like, this is sort of like what you would frame and hang up. Don't hang up some artwork or something. Some people say don't hang up your tzuva when a person is married. Like, this is what should reside in every person's house, in a way. Okay, I want to bring your attention to a Maariv Chayis that I just saw for the first time this week or last week, and to me it's very beautiful. We have two Maariv Chayis left, and then we will wrap up. Okay, so the Maariv Chayis is a commentary. It's Tzvi Hirsch Chayis, Chajis, Chajes, not an easy name to pronounce, right? Ever go places where, you know, your name might be, I don't know, Yehudis something, and then somebody's trying to like look at your name and try to figure out how in the world do you say the name Yehudis? You meet someone who's not Jewish, or so Tzvi Hirsch Chajis as well. Even for us, you're not always sure how to pronounce even every Jewish name, let alone non-Jews pronouncing Jewish names. So the Maariv Chayis, which is much easier to say. So he has an incredible commentary in all of Shas, just fascinating material. So what the Maariv Chayis says is the following. So dalochs ni lachaverch l'tavi. Again, what Hillel said: what you don't like, don't do to somebody else. Ube medrash amar. The medrash says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, b'hatzrich kamocha zechal gadol b'torah. The famous medrash is Yushalmi Nedarim as well. Ben azay Omer zesefer toldos adam b'barah oso. This is the legacy of man, or the genesis of man as he was created. That pasuk is klal gadol mizeh. I'm sure everyone knows this. That's an even more important, more fundamental pasuk, v'hatzrecha kamocha. Okay, why? What does v'hatzrecha kamocha, what does that imply? And why is the pasuk of Zed told us ha'adam, why is that more important? So listen to what the Maariv Chayis says. V'hakavani l'dati, what do I think is going on? V'hatzrecha kamocha lo nishma rakshyehe ohe zulaso. All it's telling us that we should love somebody else as opposed to just loving ourselves. Rakha'atma v'gufa. We should love someone else the way that we might love ourselves. Avabiatzmuso, but even the way that we love ourselves, yesh gam kein hevdel masha somach lulibo. You love things that are closer to your heart, ulerosho to your head. Hu chaviv etzlo yoser mehareglayim v'yadayim hamiruchakim hamiruchakim. Like, even within the person's own body, you know, I love, like, you know, you're asking me, it's sort of like when you have to triage, you know, you're having a problem of like a blood flow to the heart, which often is reason. So you could either maybe lose your heart, right? Or we can cut off your foot. I'm like, you know, take the foot and like, that's it. Now, it's not a small thing to lose a toe. It's not a small thing to lose a finger, be amputated. But you obviously care less about your pinky. You know, if somebody said, you know, if you cut off your pinky, your kids will be successful, you know, come and find great shidduchim, they'll be happy, this, that, gladly. Take my pinky and we're going to go from there, right? But maybe, I give more than pinky for that, right? But the point is that there are evarim meruchakim, evarim that are sort of far from the heart. So maybe the mitzvah of the kamocha is love someone else like yourself, but even yourself, you love in different types of ways, right? I can love like my finger differently than I love other sort of organs as well. So maybe that's the full mitzvah. If that's true, maybe if that's the level of love for somebody else, maybe if that's all that we're commanded to, that we love somebody else, maybe the way that we love distant organs. So what would that mean then? Okay, I love the guy down the block, right? Okay, and I'll send over something if he's sitting shiva. right? And I'll go wave to him on the street, and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not driving up on his sidewalk, but I'm really happy if he sort of stays a few blocks away. I'll wave to him, our kids will see each other once in a while, I'll send him a gift, and gemara. Maybe that's all that this sounds like about this, the way that you would love, like, a distant, you know, a distant part of your body. Okay, everyone hear that? If that's all the mitzvah of the Rechem Lokal was. About Mikra is that Sefer told us, Adam, bibaro, so that he baro, when man was created, Asher Nemar b'sem Elokim baris ha'adam. In man's creation, we are told that man is created in the image of God. The Adam nichbad, and man is only elevated, Rach mitzah haskolos ha'siklos asher bo. And man's greatness lies in the his initial creation of being born b'sem Elokim. Because based on his initial creation, it was because he's a temel kim. And based on the nefesh, mitzad hanefesh, shuv kol hanashamos nechtzavu b'nefesh. Every nefesh is born from the same place. Every nefesh is created from the same matter. If it's based on the nefesh, the history of our creation, of being mitzvah malokim, then we are all cut from the same cloth. Achudim, totally united. The next page. B'nefesh echol lahem mitzad ha'skala. B'nefesh ha'sichlius asher behem. Okay? It says, mitzad zu hachova li'odom li'ahov chavero ahava atzvius. If that's the case, if we are connected in our nefesh, then the love we have for each other is ahava atzvius. How would you define the words ahava atzvius? How would you say that? Deep, profound, full. Our full nefesh is connected. It's the love that you feel for, you know, the closest person in your life, right? If it's all based on our nefesh being connected. Okay? So mipnei achdus hanefesh, and therefore that idea is v'zeh kol gadol b'mehatzeh t'mocha. It far expands, it far exceeds sort of just the obligation of maybe sort of the deeds that you do for somebody else. Okay, everyone hear that? Everyone sort of see how maybe sort of the spirit of these marmakomos, of the idea of a nefesh achas, almost expands and exceeds beyond the actual mitzvah of the halachah of kamocha. Okay, so how would a person, yeah, what do you say, Talia? How it's more important? Because this Tolosa Adam is telling you that, let's get taking the image of the body, but how do I have to mocha, love someone like yourself, might just be something to ruchakim, right? I just love my distant fingers. I love them from afar. So that Tolosa Adam is telling you that every person is created in some lokim, every person's nefesh is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, therefore every nefesh is connected to each other. That is far more profound. It is far deeper. If it's an ahava atzmius. It's like you're loving in the most intimate of ways with somebody else. It's not like, okay, the guy's down the block and I'll be nice to that person. That is a klal gadol mizeh. Such a beautiful idea in Maariv Chayes, right? Okay, so I guess just before we do this last real quick, so, you know, just almost like highlighted, how would you almost bring together these two ideas? You almost sort of seem like they're in contrast with each other. So I guess the way that maybe I would quantify that, or maybe express that, articulate that, is that what should exist in the heart of every person towards really humanity, but especially towards Klal Yisrael, is this deeply profound sense of ahavas nefesh, right? That should be the feeling. I remember I walked through a supermarket, and because I'm from out of town, and I still haven't let go of my Baltimore roots some 33 years later. So wherever I go somewhere, I'll be in the supermarket, and I'll say, oh, hi, Shalom Aleichem. And the person will look at you, and they're like, do I know you? That you're sort of being so friendly, and Shalom Aleichem. And I guess what I want to tell them is, yeah, we sort of do know each other. You know, the person might look at me like I'm a total whack job, but in the world of, like, ahavas nefesh, there's a complete connection of souls. That you see somebody in a supermarket or in shul or at an airport or down the street, like it's an avas achdut, it's an avas nefesh that is powerful, right? That should be the feeling of every person. Now, halacha, sometimes halacha has to navigate sort of the balance of halakha categories. When do I do too much? When should I do? When should I not do? When is it too much? When is it not enough? When do I prioritize myself? When should I not prioritize myself? So there's almost sort of the spirit of that ahava, and then that spirit of that ahava needs to sort of be able to be placed in some type of like halakhic framework that might be more limited. But the spirit itself that generates sort of the mitzvah knows no bounds, right? It's like a boundless mitzvah. I speak to my brother, who's a very special person. I'm a psychiatrist from Beit Shemesh. And just sort of hearing the stories of last Sunday in Eretz Yisrael, people running from the north of Israel, hearing what was going on in the south, to come like jump into the fray, to fight off the terrorists single-handedly, bringing their gun from the army. Okay, I can't let this happen. It was going to sort of go driving down. Now, is that informed by sort of like the narrow halacha of Hatred Kamocha? Of course not. Of course you would say Chayecha Kodem. Like, what are you doing getting a car, driving into the mill, whatever? Like, you know, that wouldn't be a halachic act necessarily. But it's an act that is born out of sort of this hava atzmut. It's like overflow, that sense of souls connecting, that doesn't allow you to see another person sort of in pain and to not react. That spirit needs to be there, even when maybe the actions can't always be there, right? So everyone hear that? Okay, so I want to end with a beautiful idea from a book. Maybe before I say that, as I mentioned, I had like an incident last week. I'm also a therapist. I'm getting some training in a specific area. So I was doing supervision. It's a group of six people who do supervision together. It's based out of Chicago. And in that group, there's three firm people and three non-Jews. And the woman who runs in Chicago is this incredibly special woman by the name of Cynthia Reese. You know, non-Jewish, probably Scottish-Irish background. Incredibly special human being. So sensitive and smart and insightful. And just, you know, I love learning from her and working with her. And then last Wednesday, we had our first revision after the war started. So she said, oh, Josh, you know, do you know anybody who's in Israel, right? Which sort of seems like, in a way, to almost be, oh, well, we have to finish up. Okay, which is sort of such a, it's not a question you would ask anybody. I'm like, yeah, well, my brother lives there, my mother lives there, three brothers-in-laws, my son, my nephew, these five nephews in the army, these two people over here, and I don't like, she said, whoa, you know. So I want to say, it's not really sort of about even like the worry about, or the thinking about my own family, you know, half of which is there. I said, I hope like this doesn't sound in any way arrogant, but there's like a very special connection to Jewish people. It's not that, oh, my brother happens to be there. It's like on that level of that ahava nafshit, like that person who was kidnapped and taken to Gaza, whose mother's worried about them, feels as close to your heart, maybe even your own relatives. Like there's no division, there's no separation. I tried to tell her that, and like I realize, not because there's anything wrong with her, she's amazing, but I don't feel like people would understand that. A lot of people understand sort of that kesher nafshit that exists within Klal Yisrael. Now, if that's really true, if what is behind sort of that Avas Yisrael is the realization that all of our souls are connected to God, and therefore in that world we are all brothers with each other, then the obligation, said Rav Kook, is to go through life seeing that godliness in another person, right? It's not just to know that we have the kesher nafshit, but it's to bring out and to see and look at and relate to and highlight that elokus in every person. So Rav Kook writes, we only have 2 minutes left, but he says the following. So if a person is like a sensitive baal nefesh, so that it's impossible to not love God, if you really love God, that love will sprout forward and lead to actions that bring God into the world. That we should love in an active way everything, everything that can lead us to a greater understanding of God, we'll love those things as well. So it would be impossible to not love Torah and mitzvos shein kol kach kshuros b'tov Hashem, that are so connected to God's goodness. Yeshar shelo lahov as a yosher b'tzedek. It would be possible to not love yosher b'tzedek. Uprightness, righteousness, din, all the things that help in a society. As a seder hatov ha'ma'ulam saveh polakol. Why should I love yashrus? Because yashrus is God's expression in the world that brings good to everyone. Anybody who's about nefesh is going to love all of those things. And then he concludes, v'yemshar shlo l'ismali ahava l'chol bria. And everyone please, like, think about this line, incorporate this line. It's impossible to not love every bria, really all of humanity, but especially when Cook says, Kla Yisrael, shahari shefa ur Hashem b'chol humeir. God's overflow, God's spirit, the tzemel kin, the godliness of every person is shefa ur Hashem. God's overflow, b'chol humeir, is reflected, is seen in every other person. We believe in Ahavas Yisrael as being a kesher nafshis, based on godliness, that my obligation is to see you and see the godliness inside of you. And that's Ahava in the most beautiful and most profound type of way. So I want to give certainly myself a bracha, not to be selfish, I want to give you a bracha, I want to give all of Chai Yisrael a bracha, that the kesher nafshis, the way that Maris Chaya says, that Ahava, the Ahava Atliyut, the Ahava of sort of connected souls, is something that I believe we feel so deeply. So we're walking around crying often because it's just that feeling. And that's something that becomes a part of our life, not just the next week or 2 weeks or 2 months, whatever one is going for, but that's like that's our calling card in life. Everything we do, how we relate to people, to our children, people in the world, every Jew. We don't see a Jew and we only say, that guy over there, that community, or that person, or that yeshiva. Like, it's not the way a person talks. Like, you're looking for the godliness in that person. It's like, it's the ahavat nafshit, the atzmit, that is so, so powerful. And that's something that Mirz Hashem, that by bringing that or into our lives, so we can fulfill the words of the Medrash, always spoken so beautifully by Rav Tzadok, that the or sheba netach letov, that the or of the thing, of Torah, of life, of godliness, of Yisrael, so yachter l'mutav, will bring our lives, the current situation, Eretz Yisrael, all of humanity, yachter l'mutav, through that or that we see in everyone else and that we know is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's soul in each person. Thank you, everyone.